Okay, so let's just be honest for a second. It is 2026, and I think it's safe to say the honeymoon phase is officially over.
Oh, completely. The novelty is totally worn off.
Right. I mean, remember back in what, 2023 or 2024? Everyone was running around showing each other these little magic tricks.
Yeah, look, I made a picture of an astronaut riding a corgi.
Exactly. Or, I made a chatbot write a Shakespearean sonnet about a taco. And it was fun. It was really novel.
It's a great party trick.
But you walk into a boardroom today, 2 years later, and nobody cares about the corgi anymore.
Not even a little bit. The bill has come due.
Yeah.
Boards are asking a very uncomfortable question now. They're looking at the budget and saying, we spent all this money on pilot programs and subscriptions. Where is the actual ROI?
And that is exactly where we are starting today. We are looking at the hangover after the hype. Welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
So we have a source today that is essentially the sober up guide for business leaders. It's called the Enterprise AI Guide 2026.
Right, from the team at Technogian.
Yes, and they've been deploying this stuff in Orange County for years now.
Yeah.
And what I love about this guide is it reads less like a sales brochure and more like field notes from the actual trenches.
Which is exactly what you need right now,
Yeah.
because the business landscape has completely split. You have the companies that figured out how to operationalize this,
Actually make it work.
right, make it change the business,
Yeah.
and then you have everyone else who is just drowning in software subscriptions.
Well, there's a stat in the opening of this source that honestly terrified me.
The compounding one.
Yes. It says that organizations with mature AI programs, meaning they aren't just playing around anymore, are reporting operational efficiency gains of 15 to 40%.
Yeah, that's massive on its own.
But the kicker is that it's compounding year over year.
Right, and you really have to think about the math on that. If your competitor gets 20% more efficient in 2025,
Okay.
and then another 20% on top of that in 2026, and you are still sitting around debating whether or not to form an exploratory committee, you aren't just behind, you are mathematically obsolete.
Mathematically obsolete. So the mission of this deep dive today is to help you figure out how to get on the right side of that math. But I do have to play devil's advocate for a minute.
Go for it.
I feel like a lot of leaders out there think they are already using AI. They have Copilot, they use ChatGPT, they check their emails with Grammarly. Isn't that enough?
You are a freelancer. Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
But if you are an enterprise, absolutely not. And this is actually the first big friction point the guide hits on. There is a massive fundamental misunderstanding between consumer AI and enterprise AI.
So most CEOs are making decisions based on their experience with the consumer stuff.
Exactly. They think they know the beast because they've petted a kitten.
Okay, I like that analogy. So define the difference for me. Because to the average user, it all just looks like a text box where you type a question and get an answer.
Surface level, yes, it looks the same. But pop the hood. The source outlines five distinct differences. But the most important one, the one that changes everything, is context.
Context.
Right. When you use a consumer tool, it knows the internet. It knows Wikipedia, knows Reddit, it knows all the blogs. But it doesn't know you.
Doesn't know my company.
It doesn't know your profit margins from Q3 2024. It doesn't know that your biggest client has a very specific liability clause in their contract.
So if I ask a generic consumer AI to draft a contract, it might give me a beautiful, perfectly formatted legal document.
That completely violates your company's specific policies.
Right, which is dangerous.
Incredibly dangerous. And that leads to the concept of RAG, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation.
The guide gets pretty technical there.
It does, but think of it this way. Consumer AI is like a student trying to pass a test by memorizing the entire textbook.
Okay.
Their memory might be fuzzy, they might hallucinate, make things up because they can't quite remember the exact paragraph.
Right, they just guess
Yeah,
confidently.
exactly. But enterprise AI, that's an open book test. It doesn't rely on memory. It actually has secure access to your filing cabinet. It retrieves the specific document, reads it in real time, and answers based only on that established fact.
Which is huge for accuracy. But that brings us to the second distinction. The guide hammers home, and this is where the fun stops and the lawyers enter the room.
Governance.
Governance.
Yeah.
In 2026, you cannot just let a black box make decisions.
As well, you shouldn't. The source points out that if you are in a regulated industry, finance, healthcare, manufacturing, you need an audit trail.
You have to prove why a decision was made.
Exactly. If the AI rejects a loan application or flags a patient for a certain treatment, you can't just tell the auditor, well, the robot had a hunch.
That sounds incredibly difficult to build, though. audit trails for neural networks.
It is difficult. That's why those generic consumer tools explicitly warn you in their terms of service not to use them for sensitive business tasks. They just aren't built for it. Enterprise AI is effectively a surveillance state for data processing. It tracks exactly who asked the question, what specific internal data was accessed to formulate the answer, and what the exact output was.
Okay, so let's get into the real meat of this guide. Because Technetium lays out a framework. They call it the roadmap, but looking at it, it feels more like an obstacle course.
It's definitely a climb.
There are five pillars. And pillar one is the one that I think makes most business owners just want to quit before they even start.
Pillar one, data infrastructure and quality.
Yeah. The eat your vegetables pillar.
Oh, it's worse than eating your vegetables. It's like cleaning out the garage after 20 years of hoarding.
Wow.
The guide is brutal about this. It says, AI is only as smart as the data it's fed. So if your customer data is currently split between three different Excel spreadsheets, an old CRM you formally stopped using in 2022, and the sales manager's iPhone notes.
You're cooked.
You are totally cooked.
I feel personally attacked right now. But this is the reality for most mid-sized companies, right? We all have what they call dark data.
Yes, the silent killer. Unstructured data. Stuff that lives in PDFs, scanned invoices, endless email chains.
And the guide estimates that 80% of enterprise data is unstructured.
80%. So if you just plug a shiny new AI into that mess without structuring it first, the AI is just going to amplify your confusion.
It's going to confidently give you the wrong answer.
Exactly, because it read an outdated HR policy document from 2019 that nobody bothered to delete.
So the lesson here is don't buy the fancy AI software until you've hired the digital janitor.
Pretty much. The source notes that companies attempting to deploy AI without doing a data readiness audit first failed 70% of the time.
70%.
They spent all their money on a Ferrari engine, but put sand in the gas tank.
Okay, so let's assume I've done the hard work, I've cleaned the data, the garage is spotless. Now I'm looking at pillar two, use case prioritization. And honestly, this is where I get overwhelmed again because there are a million things I could theoretically do. How do you pick?
It's the paradox of choice. But the guide suggests a really practical 2x2 matrix approach. You map high impact against high feasibility.
Okay, so what's the mistake people usually make here?
Going for the moonshot first. You know, a CEO will say, let's replace our entire customer support team with an AI avatar.
Which sounds amazing on a P&L sheet until your actual customers start rioting.
Exactly. And until you realize how incredibly hard that is to actually build and secure, the framework argues you need to aim for quick wins in the first 90 days.
Pick something boring.
Boring but painful. Invoice processing. Automating meeting minutes and action items. Stuff that literally nobody enjoys doing but eats up hours of the week. You prove the value there, you build internal trust, and then you go for the moonshot.
That makes sense. Which brings us to pillar three, technology selection. And looking at the vendor landscape right now in 2026, it is an absolute nightmare. There are thousands of startups, and half of them will probably be out of business by next Tuesday.
It is incredibly volatile. But the key takeaway from the guide isn't actually about picking the quote-unquote best foundational model.
Because the best model changes every week anyway.
Right. The real secret is integration. You have to ask, does this tool live where my people already work?
Because if I have to log into a totally separate website, authenticate, and paste my data just to use the AI, I'm simply not going to do it.
Nobody will. The industry calls it the toggle tax.
I call tax.
Yeah, it's the mental energy and time lost constantly switching between different applications. The source makes it clear, successful enterprise AI is invisible.
It just lives inside Microsoft Teams or inside Salesforce.
Or inside your ERP system. You shouldn't have to go to the AI. The AI should just be a native feature of the tool you are already holding.
I love that. Invisible AI. All right, pillar four. We touched on this briefly, but we really need to go deeper because we are talking about Southern California here. Governance, security, and compliance. Specifically, the CPRA.
The California Privacy Rights Act. This is a massive deal for businesses here.
Because the CPRA has very specific clauses about automated decision making.
It does. In 2026, California consumers have the explicit right to opt out of having an AI make decisions about them. And even bigger, they have the right to ask how a decision was made.
So let's say I use an AI tool to screen incoming resumes for a job opening, and the system auto-rejects someone. If they ask me why, I can't just say, well, the computer said no.
You legally cannot do that. You need explainability.
Which goes back to the audit trail.
Exactly. This is why the black box problem of deep learning is such a nightmare for compliance officers. The guide heavily emphasizes that you absolutely must build your governance frameworks before you deploy anything.
You have to set the rules of the road before you buy the car.
Right. You need to define things like, who has access to this prompt? What internal data is this specific model allowed to see? Can the marketing department's AI search the HR files?
Oh man, imagine that. The marketing bot accidentally leaking employee salaries into the weekly newsletter.
It has literally happened. The source cites real examples of data leakage where internal company chatbots were trained on absolutely everything. So an intern typed in, how much does the CEO make? And the bot helpfully replied, here's the PDF of his 2025 bonus structure.
Total nightmare fuel. Okay, so that's pillar four. Let's move to pillar five. And this is the one that I think tech people, and maybe even you, no offense, tend to underestimate. Change management, the human element.
None taken, and I'll be the first to admit it. Technologists love to ignore this part. We think, you know, if the code compiles and the software works, our job is done.
But the guide argues this is actually the single biggest point of failure for enterprise deployments.
Because people are scared.
They are terrified.
Think about it. If leadership rolls out a new tool and the big selling point is this will increase our efficiency by 40%, what does every single employee hear?
They hear they are preparing to fire 40% of us.
Exactly. So what do?
They sabotage it.
Or they just quietly ignore it. Technician refers to this as the shadow process. You give an employee a really fancy integrated AI tool. They nod, they smile during the training, and then they go back to their desk and keep doing it manually on their trusty spreadsheet.
Because they trust the spreadsheet. They don't trust the robot.
Exactly. To fix this, you have to fundamentally change the internal narrative. You cannot sell AI to your team as a cost-cutting measure. You have to sell it as a drudgery-killing measure.
We aren't replacing you. We are just replacing the part of your job that you hate.
Spot on. We are taking away the mindless data entry so you can actually focus on strategy and client relationships. If you don't win that narrative battle on day one, the software implementation will fail, period.
All right, so we have the five pillars down. We know the traps. We know what not to do. But I want to pivot and talk about what good actually looks like. The source material gives us some very specific real-world use cases for Southern California businesses. Let's run through a few of these. But I want to look at the actual mechanics of them, not just the buzzword headlines.
Sure. Let's start with intelligent customer service.
Okay, but I want to go beyond the whole press one to hold for 3 hours nightmare.
Way beyond that. Think about a mid-sized plumbing or HVAC company down in Orange County. They have dispatchers, right? The phone rings off the hook all morning. An enterprise AI agent doesn't just answer the phone with a generic greeting. It is deeply integrated into their scheduling software and their GPS fleet tracker.
So the AI actually knows where the physical trucks are.
In real time. So a customer calls in a panic and says, my pipe burst. The AI instantly validates their account by their phone number, checks their home location, sees that truck 4 is currently only 5 minutes away finishing a job, books the emergency slot, sends a confirmation text to the homeowner, and silently updates the driver's riding app.
With zero human dispatcher intervention.
Zero. That is the 30 to 50% reduction in average handle times the guide is talking about.
That is genuinely impressive. Okay, what about predictive analytics? Because I hear that all the time, and it just feels like a buzzword. Predictive.
It sounds like a buzzword right up until it saves your entire supply chain.
Give me an example.
The guide uses inventory management. Historically, humans are reactive. We look at a spreadsheet, we see the warehouse shelf is empty, so we order more product. But AI looks at the massive web of variables that humans miss.
Like what?
It sees that the price of raw aluminum is starting to spike in China. It sees a weather pattern forming in the Pacific that historically delays shipping routes by 4 days. And it correlates that with your internal data showing that sales for your aluminum product always spike in the second week of March.
So it preemptively orders the extra stock before the supply chain bottleneck even happens.
Exactly. It moves your business from just-in-time inventory to just-in-case inventory, but with mathematical precision. It prevents the out-of-stock event that costs you your biggest client.
Wow. All right, let's talk about the professional services use case, document processing. We have a ton of law firms, accounting firms, and healthcare administration here in OC.
This is absolutely the low-hanging fruit. Think about a junior paralegal. They spend countless hours manually redlining contracts, looking for very specific, tedious clauses. indemnification, force majeure, things like that.
Cross-referencing against old contracts.
Exactly. An enterprise AI that has been securely trained on that specific law firm's historical data can review a 50-page vendor contract in about 3 seconds. And it will highlight, hey, this specific clause on page 42 deviates from our standard firm language by 15%.
So it's not writing the contract from scratch. It's proofreading and risk detecting at superhuman speed.
It's pure risk detection. It ensures the human lawyer doesn't miss the one buried sentence that could bankrupt their client.
That's incredible. And finally, cybersecurity. This one just feels like a terrifying arms race to me.
It is an arms race. And the bad guys are heavily utilizing AI now, too.
Right.
They are using AI to write much better phishing emails, stuff that actually sounds like your boss, not a Nigerian prince. They are using AI bots to continuously probe your company's firewall for microscopic weaknesses 24/7.
And human IT guys just cannot react fast enough to that volume.
Exactly. You need AI to fight AI. It analyzes network behavior patterns in milliseconds. The guide actually puts it very bluntly. If you are still relying on humans to manually review security logs in 2026, you are already breached. You just don't know it yet.
Well, okay, so I'm sold. I'm a little terrified, but I'm sold. Now comes the how. Let's say I am a mid-sized business owner listening to this. I don't have a Google-sized budget. I don't have a team of Stanford PhDs working in my basement. The source talks a lot about the buy versus build debate.
This is arguably the most critical strategic decision you will make. And for the target audience of this guide mid-market companies, the answer is almost exclusively partner, not build.
Why is that? Why can't I just go down to UC Irvine or Caltech, post a job listing, and hire a couple of smart grads to build me an AI?
Because you literally cannot afford them.
Yeah.
The starting salary for a competent AI engineer in Southern California in 2026 is astronomical. And even if you do manage to hire them, they are going to leave you in 6 months when Meta or OpenAI offers to double their salary.
The talent war is just too brutal.
It's impossible for a mid-market company to win.
So what? I'm just stuck.
You aren't stuck, but you have to be realistic about your core business. The approach Technigian advocates, which is why managed IT services are exploding in this sector, is that you rent the expertise.
Okay.
You don't try to build the engine from scratch. You hire the specialized mechanic who already knows how to tune it. Remember Ravi Jain, who founded Technigian back in 2000?
Right.
They've been navigating tech shifts for decades. They already have the governance frameworks mapped out. They have the cybersecurity stacks pre-built. You are basically just plugging your business into their existing infrastructure.
It's the difference between trying to build a nuclear power plant in your own backyard versus just paying the electric bill.
That is a perfect analogy. Unless AI is your actual product, unless you are a software company selling an AI tool, you have no business building foundational models from scratch. Your job is applying it to your workflows.
So let's walk through the actual roadmap steps they suggest for implementing this. Step one is establish baseline.
That's the readiness assessment we talked about, and it requires brutal honesty. No vanity metrics allowed. You have to ask, how clean is our data, really? How tech literate is our staff, really?
Because if you lie to yourself on step one, the whole project crashes.
Guaranteed.
Step two, align with strategy.
This just means defining the actual business problem before you buy the tech. Don't walk into a meeting and say, we need generative AI because it's cool.
You need a business reason.
Right. You say, our customer churn rate is at 10% and we need to reduce it to 5%. Then you ask, can AI help us achieve that specific metric?
And step three, quick wins.
Speed is absolute life here. You need to show tangible ROI to your stakeholders in 90 to 180 days.
Wow, that fast.
It has to be. If you embark on some massive, abstract, two-year digital transformation journey with no concrete deliverables until the very end, your CFO is going to kill the budget long before you finish.
It really feels like the era of the comfortable two-year IT roadmap is completely dead.
Oh, it's buried. In the world of AI, 2 years is a geological epoch. The specific technology you plan to use today probably won't even exist in 2 years. You have to iterate fast, deploy, learn, and adapt.
So bringing this all home for the listener, we've looked at the tech, the scary governance, the human element, and the strategy. If you had to distill the Enterprise AI Guide 2026 down to one final warning for the people tuning in, what is it?
The final warning is all about velocity. We mentioned that compounding efficiency statistic right at the top of the deep dive.
The 15 to 40% gains.
Right. You really need to internalize what that actually means for your position in the market. If your competitor implements this properly today, they immediately gain, say, a 20% cost and speed advantage over you.
Okay.
And then they reinvest those operational savings into even better AI systems for the following year.
So they aren't just getting faster.
No, they are accelerating their rate of acceleration.
And meanwhile, I'm sitting here deciding if I should maybe organize my spreadsheets.
Exactly. If you decide to wait another 12 months just to start your baseline assessment, the performance gap between you and them won't be 20% anymore. It will be 50% or 60%.
Wow.
At a certain point very soon, if you wait too long, it actually becomes mathematically impossible to catch up. You simply cannot ask your human employees to work harder than a compounding algorithm.
You cannot work harder than a compounding algorithm. That is heavy. But yeah. It's necessary to hear. It's clearly not about the hype or the party tricks anymore. It's just survival of the fittest. And the fittest are going to be the ones with the cleanest data and the smartest governance.
That is the harsh reality of business in 2026.
Well, on that slightly terrifying but highly motivating note, I'm going to go delete some old emails and finally organize my desktop folders. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the enterprise AI roadmap. It's been incredibly insightful. And to you listening, we'll see you then next one.
Goodbye, everyone.